to thank you all for being here, you diehards that are here for the last workshop of the last day. I really appreciate that. This is my title slide, and you'll notice that there were actually originally two presenters for this. Barbara, my colleague, and if you notice the names, my sister-in-law, who I'm also lucky enough to work with, can't be here today, so I'll be doing the presentation on both of our behalfs. First of all, I would like to acknowledge some of the people back home that helped us with this presentation. This is part of our team, and we have a great team in Michigan, and I am so proud of them, so I want to give them all the credit in the world. In Michigan, if you're not familiar with our state, we are what we fondly call geographically challenged. We're the 11th biggest state in the country, and because it can take somewhere between, if you go from the southeast tip up to the northwest portion, it can take somewhere between 12, 13 hours to make it, and that's in good weather. Don't even talk to me about snow. Immunization activities are done on the local level. We have 45 local health department jurisdictions that represent 83 counties in our state. And these activities include ones that I am sure that you're very familiar with, VFC management, including site visits, and AFIX activities. And then we have in our state two education programs that are somewhat unique to our state. We have the Immunization Nurse Education Program, or what we call the INE program. This is a train-the-trainer program through the local health department, and this is office-based education sessions that are free for providers. And then we have the Physician Peer Education Project on Immunization, where we have physicians presenting in a grand rounds-type format in hospitals throughout the state. Michigan Care Improvement Registry is our immunization registry. We fondly call it MICR. It's a statewide registry. It initially started as a registry for children, and then in recent years has expanded to include adult immunization information. Its capabilities include assessing for needed immunizations, always based on ACIP recommendations, managing vaccine inventory — this is something that we have recently added in our state — and determining valid and invalid doses, performing reminder recall activities, and generating AFIX reports. This slide I included just so that you could get some idea of the type of activity and how many people are using MICR in our state. Just to highlight a few of them, we have over 14,000 user logins to MICR every day, and it represents 50% of all the web traffic at MDCH. So we have over 25,000 registered users. A lot of people use the registry in our state. When a provider logs on to MICR and he wants to add some immunization information in on a specific child or adult, this is the screen that he's going to see. This is a relatively new screen for us. And you can see that it's going to include the date, vaccine, the eligibility, the manufacturer, and the lot number. These are all mandatory fields. And then the dose or the volume, the site and the route, those are an optional field that we highly encourage that they complete. This is what an immunization history would look like in MICR. So if you went to look to see what a child had received, you're going to get this long list of, see here what this child has received. So it's going to tell you the vaccine, the dose number, the age they received it, the date, manufacturer. If you have an unknown manufacturer, this is probably going to be historical data, something that maybe he copied off an immunization record card that was copied and then put in. Providers have the option to put in information based on whether they gave the immunization or whether it was historical information that someone else has given by another provider. MICR can tell valid and invalid doses. When MICR determines a valid or invalid doses, this is going to be based on maybe the vaccine was given prior to the minimum age, the minimum interval was not satisfied between the doses, or what we fondly call in our state the live-live rule, which means that two live vaccines must be given on the same day or separated by 28 days. If this happens, then our little Y button you can see off to the left of the screen, my left of the screen. How do they call it? Hover your cursor. The tech people tell me that's hovering. You can hover your cursor over the Y button, and then it will pop up with a message as to why this dose is invalid. It will let the provider know that maybe it was a minimum interval violation, such as this one, or a minimum age, or the live-live rule. Managing inventory in MICR is something that we've recently added. All VFC providers must manage their VFC inventory in MICR in my state. And we are very concerned about expired vaccines. It's one of the most common ways we lose a vaccine wastage in my state is because of expired vaccine. So expiration dates are color-coded so that they know that we need to look at these vaccines. They need to use them up, or they need to start calling the local health department about these if these are VFC vaccines, so that we can make sure that they don't go to waste. VFC providers can also manage their private inventory in MICR also, and we highly encourage it. This is one of the reports that you can generate through MICR. This is a doses administered report, or what we fondly call a DAR. These are done generally on a monthly basis for VFC providers. They can use this for their VFC reporting criteria for when they order vaccine. I blew up that little box because I didn't think you can see it. So for this provider, for this report, for this month of June, they gave 50 doses, and this is all the clinic. They gave 50 doses of DTaP to children less than one, and they gave no doses of hepatitis B to children less than one. Okay, the DAR identifies the vaccines that the clinic has used, the age of the recipients, and the number of doses given. Providers also have the ability to develop or generate provider profile reports. These can be done on a series of vaccines, so such as this example of a provider profile report, where you can see that it was generated information on children 19 months age but not yet 36 months of age for the 431-3313 series. MICR will then give them information about the clients that have met the above criteria, the clients that have not met that criteria, and the total number of clients that were evaluated based on their information in MICR. This can also be done based on a single vaccine. So, we're all concerned in my state about Hib and about whether children are receiving the primary series of Hib. So we encourage providers to run and look and see, you know, and this one was a doses administered that we pulled on a provider for persons that are children that were at least 6 months of age but not yet 12 months of age and had three doses of Hib vaccine. And again, it's going to come up with the number of children that meet the criteria, the number of clients not meeting the criteria, and total number, and it's going to do it in number and percentage. MICR and AFIX have been wedded for a number of years in my state, and AFIX reports are generated directly through the MICR using registry data, but they can be generated only by health department staff. This is not an option that a private provider could generate these reports on his own. AFIX reports include the list that's available. Some of these are your traditional AFIX reports. Others are reports that we've developed that we have found helpful. So I have this information system that has all this information in it. And our questions have been over the last few years, how do we use the information in the system to promote safe vaccine administration? So recently, this happened over the last half of last year, We were getting reports of people that were giving DTAP, DTAP, HIB, IPV, and TDAP in error. And you can see by this doses administered report, there was some DTAP given to 11 to 12-year-olds. This clinic gave two doses. It also gave a dose of DTAP, HIB, IPV to three through five. So we're going to look. So we would want to look at that, see if that was a booster dose or something that was given in error. And then they gave two TDAPs to a one-year-old. So we were hearing about this from the local health departments. They were seeing these come in as they were doing their, as providers were doing their VFC reporting, and we were showing that they were giving these vaccines out of the licensed age range. Errors, we then were able to generate a doses administered report for the whole state, looking to see how often is this happening in, and is it happening in just certain areas with certain providers, or is it happening statewide? And we found, can you guess? It was happening statewide. So we went into how are we going to educate providers about this? So we developed educational materials about this. And I have some in the back, on the back table. We had a history of developing what we called quick looks in our state, but we didn't have one on all the vaccines. That's what we're doing now, is creating them for all the vaccines. And a quick look is a one-page, down and dirty, what you need to know to give the vaccine safely and effectively for provider offices. So last year we went into overdrive and we developed them on DTAP, TD, TDAP. We developed them for DTA-IPV HIB, DTAP-IPV hepatitis B, and DTAP-IPV combination. So we had them for all of those vaccines. They were then posted on the michigan.gov/immunize website. They're all still there. We also thought we need to get the word out even more. So in our education programs, this is an example of a slide that is included in both the INE office-based education program and the peer education program, where it talks about the vaccines, the licensed age groups, and about the importance of paying close attention to whether it's a capital letter or it's a lowercase letter, because that actually makes a difference. So we developed this information and then we had to distribute it. And how we distribute it is, we have a wonderful network with our INEs, that office-based education train the trainer program that I spoke about earlier. So we sent out information about that, all right, to them. We talked to them about the quick looks that we had developed so they could use them when educating providers that they saw these were on a one-to-one basis for providers in their jurisdictions that were making the errors. We also included information about the quick looks in the electronic newsletter that we have, and on the listservs they were sent out. We also wrote newsletter articles. Or articles for use in our newsletter and in newsletters for our professional associations. So we have a very good relationship with the Michigan State Medical Society, our Michigan chapter of the AAP, our Michigan chapter of the American Academy of Family Practices. We have a good relationship with those, so those went out to them. They were included in the education programs, as I alluded to earlier in the slide. And we also do 8 annual regional conferences. So we have what we affectionately call the Roadshow, and it goes out in the fall, and we have a one-day conference, and it goes to 8 different areas around the state, and we included quick look information, quick looks, we included information in presentations. It was also sent out through state and local coalitions. We have a very active immunizations programs in our state, both with coalitions locally, and we have a wonderful state coalition that's called the AIM Coalition. I'm not know if you're familiar with it, but they put out a toolkit, and they have a provider toolkit each year, and they have a website. And we included this information on the AIM Toolkit website and on websites for professional organizations. We also are lucky enough that our registry or MICR has its own website, and this is a picture of MICR.org. and information was included in their resource library, where we have educational materials with website links and in timely messages. And you can see at the bottom where it talks about the HIB shortage for shortage in child care and gives them information about that. That message changes. That just happened to be the message that was there when I took the screenshot. And we have the ability to change that message often, and we do. We also have a welcome screen so that when a provider logs on to MICR, this screen pops up to them, and then we can give timely messages in this way too, where information was also included on our welcome screen. Looking to the future, how can I use, I have all these people that are accessing the MICR and using it on a daily basis. This is a wonderful way to get information out to people also. So looking to the future, and what we're looking to do is linking to vaccine-specific information. So when someone goes in to assess for a vaccine in MICR, what we're hoping to have added fairly soon is the ability to have them click on that specific vaccine on the assessment screen, and the quick look will pop up and give them information. So if they look at the assessment screen and they go, I'm not really familiar about HPV vaccine, it's recent to my clinic, I want to know more things, they'll click on HPV vaccine and the HPV quick look will pop up. We're also looking at ways to identify doses administered with compromised vaccine. And that would be compromised vaccine through administration errors or through storage and handling. We're still going back and forth about this. We're not sure how to do it, because we also not only want to do it on the web, but we also want to be able to do it on printouts, because you can print out your immunization record from MICR and hand it to somebody, and I want the next provider to know that that dose was compromised vaccine and that that revaccination should be considered. And we also want to indicate why that vaccine dose is compromised. So instead of a Y button, we're kicking around the idea of an X button, where it would show, they would hover over it and it would tell them why that dose is a compromised vaccine dose. So in summary, we think we are real excited in Michigan that we have this registry that is going to allow us one more avenue to get at providers and give them good information. Because I think we all know, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here, that to educate providers, it needs to be timely and when they need it, and it also needs to be in a variety of ways. Not everybody is going to be able to give me an hour to come and talk to their staff. So I need to have it in multiple ways to reach all of them. So I'd like to thank you all and let you know that I do have slides in the back. There were some handouts of slide, and my contact information is included. Thank you.